Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Thank you, Carol.
Thank you. We're going to call the meeting to order. Can everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have a moment of silence. This is a public announcement. The meeting is being video and audio recorded and will appear on the district website, hdsd.org. A live stream video in real time can be viewed at townhallstreams.com. Do we have any recognitions
nope.
this evening?
Nope.
Okay. Correspondence?
Just want to make sure that you received your information from the New Hampshire School Board Association about the funding.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's it.
Okay. We do have one presentation today from Donna Furlong.
Sorry, Donna. I thought you were in the other order. That's okay.
Oh, that's fine. You want me to present the
Yeah.
Figure?
Yes, please.
Okay. Yes, please.
All right. We get to use this too.
You can if you'd like. You have to turn it on, though.
How's that?
I like it.
Oh, green light.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello.
Am I working?
You are. Very nice.
Okay. So I have been asked to speak with you about the West Ed report for the Hillsborough Dairy Elementary School. It is in the packet,
mm-hmm.
the board packet. It is titled Diagnostic Review Findings. If you flip through that, a few pages in, you will find a summary that was put together that's a little bit more reader-friendly. It's right after the call survey.
Next page.
Okay.
Yeah.
So after page
Next.
7.
Yeah, right there.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that just lays out the information a little clearer, I think. So basically, what the report lays out is one strength and three areas of need. They did this for all of the CSI schools, so there was nothing special about Hillsborough Dairy, the fact that we had three needs. It was that way for every CSI school. The second vendor has been determined, and that will be with demonstrated success. I've had some experience, some very positive experience with demonstrated success before. I worked with them, as Bob likes to say, in a former life, mainly around data and how to read data and how to use data to drive your instruction. So I'm actually really excited about being able to work with them. We've already set up some communication. We've had our beginning meeting with Lisa Sweet, who is the person from Demonstrated Success that we'll be working with, and that went really well. We have another meeting planned for July 15th with Demonstrated Success, where many of the CSI schools are getting together. We're going to bring our whole leadership team in order to do a data dive. I will say that they complimented us, the fact that we were focused, that we had our information together, that we are driven, that we know what we want from the process, and we have things identified that we really want to work on. So I think that's exciting. There's a great opportunity for us being identified as a CSI school. It was really, I think, eye-opening in some ways, but also we know that there are weaknesses at our school, and we know that there are things that we wanted to change, and this is going to be the avenue that we'll use to be able to identify and get everybody on the same page. We have the data to back up what our needs are and what our strengths are. So as a team and as a school, we're really excited about taking these findings and moving forward with the findings. If anybody has specific questions, I'm happy to go deeper, but you have the report in front of you, and I'm happy, more than happy, to answer any questions.
I have some questions.
Absolutely.
So on the call survey, the one section, nothing was surprising to me. I'm a parent. I have two kids in this school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very intimately involved. I know what's going on. So nothing was a shocking
surprise, although I will say what concerns me is on the call survey, no respondents indicated that school discipline policies are very or extremely effective, and only 13% said school's discipline policies are very or extremely effective in addressing behavioral concerns. So that makes me wonder if we have a policy issue or if we have a gap somewhere. Obviously, the theme across the board was behavior, was interfering with educational classroom time. So I know we've hired another behaviorist, we've got plans in place, but that came out to me as something that stood out to me as a policy question. You had 73 people take the survey and, you know, 13 leadership folks. So have you guys dug into what that might look like or what you might need to do to address that? You and I have had very frank conversations about the discipline and the behavior issues and how it's a community and it takes a village, and closing that gap on, you know, you're doing a lot in this building. We need to reinforce that with parents. Have you guys dug into any of that yet?
So that specific question, I think there may be some related data in the rest of the report. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that as a leader in the building, there's a fine line that we walk as far as, you know, this is the elementary school, this is the place where we teach kids right from wrong.
Exactly.
And I know that for some parents and some educators, it's really frustrating when we talk about behavior and some egregious thing that a student has done, but the thing that we have to also think about is this student may not come from a home that understands that hitting is not okay. We speak to kids about, we don't hit at school. We don't always know the backgrounds that these kids are coming to school with. And oftentimes, I think there is a frustration from parents, from community members about mm-hmm. behavior. And it sometimes appears like, why aren't you doing anything about that?
Mm-hmm.
We are. We are teaching the children. We are teaching them what is okay and what is not okay. It may look different for different children.
Yep.
It may not always be a suspension. That is a last resort. And I think in my generation, anyway, that's what happened. Kids got suspended if they were naughty.
Yeah.
And it's not that way. Research
yeah.
does not support that out-of-school suspension is best practice anymore.
Yeah.
So that's one piece of the behavior. Mm-hmm. I think that as a school, we are looking at. We spent a lot of time last year going through our student support center policies. We have that on the docket for this summer also to revisit these not policies, that's the wrong word, I apologize.
Right.
But more procedures and expectations, and what are the expectations for students who do have to go to a student support center to mm-hmm. Talk about, you know, some sort of behavior issue. We do have a behavior specialist on board with us now, so the way we process things does look different now than it may have last year. So it is definitely a new iteration in how we handle behavior in the building, and that will continue to morph and change as needs change.
Do you guys have benchmarks on how you're going to measure whether your changes are going to show that you've been successful in that model?
So that will be part of the work for this summer. We did have a goal, you know, as far as the data that we keep,
mm-hmm.
And even the way we keep data has changed a little bit between last year and this year, and that's really all I can speak to because that's what I've been here. So in our work that we did with Polly Bath this year, the behavior consultant that we brought on board,
mm-hmm.
She really helped to focus us on what specific types of behaviors we were looking for. Some of the data collection does look different. We don't break it down quite as minutely as we may have last year.
Yeah.
So in order to compare, it's not always comparing apples to apples anymore. Some of those little behaviors are now in bigger categories. And if we talk about disruptive behavior, for example, a disruptive behavior, well, there might be two or three or four disruptive behaviors that fall into that one category. But yeah, there's definitely more work to be done. There's no doubt about it. And there is work scheduled for this summer to revisit what we've done.
The template for the improvement plan arrived today?
It did. Yes, thank you. That's in my notes also. It did. Yes. So on the 15th, when we get together with the demonstrated success folks, part of the work that we'll be doing that day is starting to build the school improvement plan. And they were kind enough, like I said, to let us bring our whole leadership team, which is not just SAU and building level leaders, but it's also our instructional leadership team, because we want teachers involved. These are the people that are going to bring that information back to their grade levels and help spur those changes and be those frontline communicators with the teachers. So that's really exciting that they're allowed to go too and that they're being invited.
I have a question. At what point do you call the parents in? Like the second time there's the behavior, third time, or when?
I wish that I had my book with me, because I have a binder that I keep of every single parent phone call that I make. I make probably between four and ten a day. So the number of parent phone calls that I make is astonishing. I get a lot of pushback from parents about, oh, I can't come in and meet with you, my schedule is too difficult, oh, you can't suspend a child, I don't have child care. We try desperately to work with parents, because oftentimes having a student out of school is not the best for them. It's not the best for the family. Having them in our school and continuing to learn is what's best for that child. And we do look at it on a case-by-case basis. There's conversation about some people say, well, sometimes you need to inconvenience the parents. I totally understand that. And there are, even a phone call these days, honestly, is inconvenient for many parents. I call every day. I'm making phone calls to parents.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like if you can't get the parents in here and get them involved, I don't think much is going to change.
There's also a shift, and I'm going to go out on a limb saying this. I'll chuck you down if you need to. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that parents. If my father ever got a phone call home from my school, it was bad news. The teacher was never wrong. The school was never wrong. I was expected to follow the rules at school. I would say many phone calls that I make these days, it gets thrown back at us. Well, you're doing something wrong. It's our fault. It's something that we're doing wrong, and there's a lack of ownership, to be completely honest with you, on the part of the parents. And that is a struggle that we face every single day, is that building relationship with parents, which honestly is part of the reason that I make so many phone calls, is to build that relationship with parents so that when I have to have that hard conversation, we start that hard conversation on a different level, where I've already sort of built that foundation with folks and can then have that hard conversation with parents.
Dawn and I have had lengthy conversations on this topic.
In part of breaking the cycle, so to speak, are there ideas of more punishment to fit the, not crying, but as opposed to sitting and talking and, you know, what you did wrong, but actually having a child participate and work on changing what they may have affected?
Absolutely, and that's one of the biggest strengths, I think, that our behavior specialist brings, and the fact that it's another person on board now to help when those conversations need to happen, but we call it a repair. If you break it, you fix it. Oftentimes that is with words. Sometimes it is something, if there's damage at the school, they're expected to fix it. There's always that talking piece, no matter what, because we need children to understand and be accountable, and oftentimes that's the hardest part for them, is holding themselves being accountable, and that happens during that conversation. But absolutely, we call it logical consequences. If this happens, this is the consequence, and a consequence can be positive or negative, but it's that result of whatever your action was. So we do try very hard to make sure that it fits the bill, so to speak,
I guess kind of going off of that too a little bit, having those conversations with not necessarily the offenders or the ones that are initiating the responsibility, but you got all of the students that sometimes get kind of pulled into it indirectly that are still responsible for it, but, you know, you know, trying to work with them to explain them that they have that part responsibility too. And even just, I guess, is, you know, working with some of the students that maybe kind of see all this going on and it's affecting their self-esteem and affecting their learning.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that really speaks to the fact that we work every day to build a community, not only in our school, but in our classroom. And that's really where that community starts, is in the classroom. And I've seen some amazing work from teachers who at the beginning of the year, they get a classroom that has some behavior needs in it, and they are able to turn things around. I'm not saying it's perfect, but they do amazing work with our students on a daily basis of making that community happen and having the students learn to trust each other. Trust is a hard one for many kids. The other piece, just to go back to what Herla was just talking about, one of the things that we do is we do a lot of community service types of things where we talk about if a student, and this goes to Mr. Bovers, if a student is taking away from their community, they need to then give back. There are many students who will say something in the classroom and then we'll have them removed from the classroom and then they will not follow any directions. So we actually time them and see how long it takes for them to follow a direction. And sometimes we make that up by that community service piece. Or a student is writing things on the whiteboard in their classroom that they shouldn't be. It's just not an appropriate time for that to be happening. They're giving back to the community. Somehow, if they've taken away from our community, they will then give back to the community. And the idea is they learn to feel good about doing something positive for their school. So yes, it is a consequence, but I've seen it work to our benefit many, many times where students feel like, oh wow, that was actually, can I come back and can I do that again? Absolutely, absolutely you can. And they decide to come back and do it for a positive reason instead of having, you know, having it as a real yucky consequence.
What are some of those giving back to the community? What are some examples of that?
Recycling is a prime one. We have students who walk around and recycle in our building. It could be shelving books for the librarian. It could be helping teachers clean classrooms. You know, just last week I had a student who thought it was fun to just stand and break pencils in their classroom. So we spent 15 minutes and that student cleaned the classroom. They cleaned the floor. They made sure that the books were nice on the bookshelves. And it was just that idea of you took time away from your classroom. You made it dirty. You broke materials. Now is your opportunity to give back.
And that kind of ties it back to the other two, too. It ties it back to the learning and, you know, classroom success in other ways.
And I will say we're not alone in this struggle with behaviors in our school. This is everywhere. It really is everywhere. I've seen it. I've taught in it. It's tough. It's really hard. But we have a lot of work to do, but we also have a lot of really good things in place to do that work. A lot of great people.
What were your thoughts reading this as administrator when the overall theme for instruction was lack of consistency, lack of understanding expectations? That was a generalized theme in terms of instruction, in terms of uniformity between grade levels. What I know you guys have restructured, and I'm cautiously optimistic that what you guys will have more time in those classrooms, but what were your thoughts as a current leader knowing and reading this?
Honestly, so A, humbled, B, so excited. The fact that I have been given the opportunity mm-hmm. with Jenny LaLiberty coming in, mm-hmm. we have specialized skills in these areas. We've been in the classroom. We've been curriculum leaders before. Mm-hmm. Now we're administrators. We know how mm-hmm. to do it. We know how to do it. That's not a question. We know how to get people on board. We know how to make the changes. So it's honestly so exciting that we can come in and give our skills. That's why we do what we do, is because we're excited to make those changes. The changes that need to be made are things that we've lived and breathed, mm-hmm. And we can make the change happen, and we can make it better here, and we have the teachers to do it. The teachers are amazing. Amazing. I've never seen a staff quite like the staff here. Mm-hmm. They have what it takes to make these changes happen. They just need the the direction. They need the focus. They need the leadership in order to make it.
Which is why I was surprised to read the comment of ineffective teachers and without protocol to deal with them. That was surprising.
And it's
a small sample, but I understand.
That's also an issue that a lot of people struggle with, because most of the personnel issues are personnel issues.
Right.
And what happened and what the consequences are to that individual teacher is not made public.
Not
we don't believe in public shaming.
Right.
If someone's not working out
right.
as a teacher, we counsel them out of either the position entirely, or we provide professional development support for the areas that they're weak in.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not something that we typically advertise.
Right.
We treat people with dignity, and sometimes that dignity, the first part of it, is protecting their privacy in growing or changing fields. And I think that has been very positive for this district to not think that the best way to just fire them. It's not that easy. There's a collective bargaining agreement. There's professional development plans. There's a process to do that. And that's not going to be shared with 20 other parents that aren't involved in that. So.
What Don was saying, too, is going back to the leadership, I guess do you feel like the consistent leadership that is being put in place will help with that? Because, I mean, some of these comments that were there was a relatively small focus group, so, I mean, it's not necessarily across the board, probably isn't across the board, but being able to pull together everyone so that everyone's on the same page, so the communication is a little bit more both ways and building relationships as you're starting to do.
And we can't fix it if we don't know what those things are. So the fact that we have the areas of need in black and white, and we've all sort of agreed on them, I think was the first step to realizing, wow, we've got some work to do. Okay, great. Now what are we going to do to make it happen? And we're on that path of, good, let's make it happen now. We know what we've got to do. Let's make it happen.
I think most of the administrators, when they read it, felt validated that we agreed with 90-odd% of what was on there. There were no big surprises, but we spend a lot of time talking about the discipline stuff when the reality is that's preventing us from talking about the more important pieces of having the curriculum aligned and having the instruction be directed towards the standards that the kids are going to be tested on.
Mm-hmm.
West Ed was apparently here 12 years ago, 10 years ago, and did some really great work around curriculum and refocusing, and they were absolutely wonderful to work with. And so it's nice to have that neutral party come in and
mm-hmm.
have it paid for by the grant. Which is the silver lining of when you get into one of these programs, is that you're getting some help from the state to analyze it, and typically from, like you said, West Ed, and demonstrated success. So.
And I truly feel like if we refocus, when we refocus our instructional strategies, the curriculum in general, we'll see some of that behavior turn around in the classrooms, because it will be more exciting, it will be more cohesive instruction. We're going to, the curriculum and the instruction in the classroom is going to be refocused.
So your next step is the 15th, you guys are meeting to start to develop your plan? Is that
the school improvement plan? Yes,
okay.
And we're gonna take that day to look at the data and see what the data is telling us about our instruction. And it probably a good majority of that time will be spent on the SAS data that we have.
So how long do you think it will take you to get that? Is that how long of a process is that to do that, to develop that plan?
Yeah, is there a timeline?
The school improvement?
Yes.
I'm going to turn around and look at them. Do we know a specific timeline? So the timeline that demonstrated success is laid out as the initial meeting on July 15th. There's going to be another meeting in August. They're looking at having the finalized plan in the early part of the fall. They're recognizing that they're kind of mapping things out based on how much time in their experience has taken to put things like this together. If everybody remembers back, the DOE originally was supposed to have demonstrated success as the second vendor in schools by January, February. West Ed was supposed to be done in December.
Right.
Everything is about 5 months behind schedule, so they're, one of the things that Lisa Sweet did say at the meeting we had was that she was really relieved to see nobody sitting around waiting for them to kind of like, we've got things prepared so that now that we have the template, we can kind of start chunking things into it. And really, we're looking to be done with the improvement plan ahead of their timeline so that we can start improving.
Yeah, so I was going to say, you're not going to have it finalized before the start of the school year, but will you have a draft to and utilize that moving into the academic?
Absolutely.
Okay. Can you show us the draft? Is that allowed?
Can we see the name today?
Yeah.
No. Like, when you guys, after you guys, like, will you...
You don't mean now.
No. I mean, once it's developed, not the... You know what I mean. Can you come back to us in August and show us how far you've gotten?
I would think regular updates on the whole process.
Yes.
All along.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Excellent. Any other questions? Yes.
It said they interviewed the school board. Who they interview?
Chris.
Chris.
You? I was unavailable.
Didn't interview?
Nope.
Just Chris?
They just had one representative.
Okay. I think they were,
a sample.
They had reached out to Catherine, but I think she was unavailable due to
yes,
other
I was
things.
In surgery when they were here. So I was unavailable.
So they made the attempt. But there was, did you have questions about the cross-section two people that they talked to, Paul, as well? Because there was
no,
many
I just
other people.
I do the school. Okay.
Any other questions, comments?
I imagine, too, just the final two, I know you haven't been through this one specifically, but I imagine it's going to be sort of a working document as well. Is it not necessarily a firm cast in stone at each stage, but it's something that, you know, if it needs to be, can it be adjusted if we see that something's not working, and how easily can that be adjusted?
I would imagine as long as the end goal is the same.
Right. I know it's still early on to sort of even be asking that question, but as far as, you know, like as we dive into it and see, looking at these areas, if we see something that might work a little better, if we shift the goal a little bit or shift something, you know, is that, I imagine that, is that possible to do?
Any other questions, comments?
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to share an idea or concern with the board. Comments are limited to 5 minutes per person. It is not the practice of the board to immediately respond to comments made. Is there any public comment at this time?
I've got a quick one.
Oh.
I just want to say again, I didn't sit here, but I wanted to congratulate Ben Ketter for winning the 100-meter championship, the long jump, and finishing second in the triple jump in the Division III New Hampshire Championships.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Yes, Mr. Sager.
When you guys were talking about this was Bob from Mike Camp, shame teachers publicly and all that. I understand the rules about that, but what you can put forward maybe annually is a summary of so many teachers were moved on, was the phrase used, and to another career, or so many teachers were retrained. Just to give the public picture of what, you know, of what's being done without, you know, shaming any particular teacher or anything. Let them know that, yes, that's being done. I know you're going to talk about video streaming. I was unable to find it anywhere on the website, link to it today. I have a question as to it, your fine print here, and I know you read it out loud. Thank you for those, but I wouldn't have read it otherwise. It says in real time. My question is, can it be viewed afterwards, and how long is it there? Can it be downloaded?
That's a good question. You make a note on that.
Yeah. discussing that either in response or right after your response when that item comes up. Along those lines, also the packet was not online today. I'm looking for it. The agenda was, but the packet wasn't. I mean, usually those are, you have been putting them on there. That's helpful to be able to be prepared rather than sitting here skimming through it while listening to you guys at the same time. You also have this idea to spend some of your budget savings, surplus, slush fund, as some of us might prefer to call it. And I would urge you don't. Coming at the last minute to try and do that is inappropriate. And I brought this up at the last meeting. It wasn't responded to during the meeting, but afterwards, one of the board members told me that the last 2 years you haven't spent any of the surplus. And I went back and looked at minutes from the last couple of years, and that was incorrect. There has been money spent in both of the last couple of years on items. So I went back to minutes and took a look at some. But the fact that you're coming forward at the last minute as opposed to in the past, it's been an amount, you know, a rough idea was presented with a list of some possible ideas that the administration wanted to spend it on. The fact that you waited for the last minute, or they waited for the last minute, I think you should send a very clear message and give us all that money back. There's no. Even the items that you had in here, there's no need for those. You don't need to be spending that money.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other public comment at this time? Okay. Live board discussion items. Live streaming of the recording of the board meeting minutes. Meetings. School board response. Sorry. Do we have any comment to public comment?
Go back to public comment.
Did you have a public comment?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I just had a question.
Sure. What's your name?
Tenants, because the school, the elementary school rating is third from the bottom. We seem to be bouncing off the between the third and the fourth. I have a 5-bedroom house, and I have tenants leaving to go to other schools. In other towns, and the superintendent just got a raise, and I think he's about the 11th from the top. Why doesn't he get about the third from the bottom for money? If he's, 'cause you're in charge, aren't you? You're utterly responsible for the school, correct? As the superintendent, right?
This is public comment, not public discussion. So if you have comments, we can listen to them.
Okay. Well, then I think you ought to get third from the bottom on pay until he ranks up there and gets the school up.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Any response to public comment? Moving on. Board discussion items. Live streaming video recordings of board meetings. Are we still comfortable with, we haven't really had a true sampling of data.
Yeah, I think we've only had one that's out there, and I don't think the link was not on there for the last one, so
okay.
I haven't looked to see if it's on right now, but still
when we voted for this, they were supposed to be archived for
they are.
A couple of years, so they should all be up. Well, the two that we've had, they should be up there.
I was just speaking to people being able to find them easily. Like, you know, I mean, right now, up until it being linked on our site, they have to go directly to Town Hall Streams. But I think now that, I think that link is now either on our site or probably will be.
It should be.
It should be.
Okay.
If it's not, it should be there. I would think.
It wasn't there an hour ago, and if it is, please let us know where it is.
I mean, we were technically still in the trial period.
Yeah, but that still should be available.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We can follow up on that, because it's still in the warranty. We're still in the kind of trial phase, so we need to follow up on the link on the HDSD site.
There, yeah, it shows live, and then there is, it's archived up to 2 years, as you said, too.
Okay. All right, we can circle back on that. So let's keep this on the agenda, because I think we need to firm up what we want to do with this, make sure that it's solid, because I think we're under a trial contract, if I recall. Neil's not here, so I can't speak to that. But we need to firm up that before we take this off of the agenda.
By waiting, too, do we know what the timeline is for that? As far as I know, I think he mentioned something about them having not been paid yet. Are they okay with where things are at, or do we need to...
I haven't heard otherwise.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll follow up with Neil on that one. Anything else for live stream video? Okay, moving on. Policy Committee, Chris, can you update the policy?
First one is EHAB, Data Governance and Security. It's the second reading. So again, it's in our packets. It's in, you know, the packets that the public has too. If anyone has any questions on it. Again, we looked at it last time, and I believe we've made a change. And next time we'll be bringing it up in August, probably for its final. Any review, or are we ready to move on? Or?
Any questions on that one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm good.
What's the next one?
Yeah, then we have tabled IJ, Instructional Resources, and Instructional Resources Plan. And
is this what the extra handouts were to go with?
Yeah, there was.
They were to go with this, right?
Attached to it was the Ed 306.08 Instructional Resources. That's just it, you know, you kind of look through it too, you know, just. I think it answers Paul's question a little bit more.
Okay.
I think that was why we tabled it. We tabled it just to kind of look into that a little bit more.
Okay.
I mean, it's, and that kind of defines the reason for the policies.
Does that help clarify? You wanted to see that additional policy.
It's a revision, so when we're ready, we can vote on it. It doesn't have to go through a second meeting.
Okay.
So, any questions? Are we going to be ready to vote on that tonight? The policy committee was okay with putting it through.
Are we okay to vote on that one?
Yep.
Okay.
And
I'll add that one.
We have an add-on as well.
Yep.
Which is in the additional handouts, GBEF. JICL and KD. We're taking those three, and we're actually able to kind of simplify things a little bit and combine them into one policy. Thanks to it was Neil that was helping us out by doing that.
Seeing we're just saying this tonight, I think we should table this one and bring it up next week, next
good
meeting.
Good idea.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Because, I mean, we have to read it all and digest
yep.
it.
That's fine.
I don't think it's fair to do that in one meeting.
Yep.
Do you want to save questions until then, or do you have
questions?
Yeah, because nobody's
we'll just read it, then
we
can
okay.
do whatever.
Okay.
There is a typo on acceptable at the top, though.
Acceptable, what was that in which one?
The GBEF /JICL.
Oh, I see it.
That's as far as I read.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do that in August or even the
right.
first one in September if you want.
Okay.
And okay. I believe that was it for policy.
Okay, thank you. Summer retreat, I just want to circle back. We need to firm up location and food, as well as I want to firm up the agenda and make sure that everyone's comfortable with their divided topics. So location, are you guys still comfortable with having it on campus and having it be at the middle school?
Well,
is that where we're going to have it at the middle school? Is that where Carol reserved, I think?
That's what they've had in the past.
I think that's where Carol reserved it. Okay.
Were we exploring having it at the government center?
Oh, we have. I haven't had a chance to call them yet. So we were looking at it off campus. But if we need to firm that up now, which it's in 2 weeks.
Where's
life's been a little busy.
Where's the government center?
Where we have training.
Oh, no. I can't get there.
probably okay. be able to get there on time. So let's have it on campus. What do you guys want to do for food choices? Last year, I think we did High Tide.
Pick one in the rotation.
Does anybody have any strong objections?
It has to be. It can't be a complex dinner because we. It needs to be a working session because we're shortening up our time frames. Want to just order pizza?
Well, we don't. It starts 6:30, right?
Yes.
We don't need food. Everybody.
Yes, sure. We can do that.
Just water.
We can do that. Water and snacks. We do snacks.
Yeah, water, snacks, snacks. We
can. Okay, great. We'll do that. We'll do snacks. Okay, so what I have for agenda topics, team building, which I will take care of, community relations, which is going to be Herla, self-assessment and lessons learned, and then goal setting. Everybody comfortable?
I think in the board self-evaluation was under goal setting, I believe. Or is that?
Yes, self-evaluation. Yep. Which one are you doing?
It was board self-evaluation, which I think was under goals.
Okay. And then you're going to lead through. Oh, self-assessment is under lesson learned. I had self-assessment, lessons learned, and then goal setting.
Yeah.
As separate.
Yeah, self. Okay.
Self-evaluation, self-assessment. It's the same thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So you're doing self-assessments, lessons learned?
Yes.
And you're doing goals?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Okay. Okay. Any other walk-on topics that you guys have thought about? Okay.
Our role.
School board.
School board's role.
School board.
But I can sort of combine that with the community.
Yeah, I was even thinking with self-assessment and lessons learned. I mean, that can kind of, we can kind of fit that in a little bit, and if we want to be evaluating how we're meeting our role. So maybe, you know, a conversation about roles first before we do the self-assessment.
Okay, so
that'd be good.
So team building, school
That's
board
great.
Role. Self-assessment. I'm just trying to order these. Okay.
Self-assessment, then you had lessons learned.
Okay. All right. Any other topics, questions, comments on that one? Or are we good?
I'll probably try to send something out for the evaluation beforehand so we can.
Okay.
And maybe I'll try to pull something on the role so that we have a guidance. If, I mean,
okay.
I think a lot of us know our role, but it's always good for review. So we
mm-hmm.
can do that before, hopefully, to
okay.
have the juices flowing.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? Are we good with that topic? All right, superintendent's report.
Okay, you have the amended appointment sleeves and resignations. We got an awful lot of them in the last couple of days after we had our agenda planning meeting. Carol was kind enough to highlight the newer ones in yellow.
They're not in yellow in our packet.
Oh, well, I got mine in yellow, sorry.
They're kind of highlighted.
No, they're kind of gray. Okay, they're not
yes.
yellow, they're gray.
They're shades of gray. So these are the additions since we met?
Yes.
Oh, crap, there's an extra page.
It's like 90%.
Yeah, what they are, Paul, is they're the after-school and academic support things, such as the athletic coverage, the instructional team leaders, the extracurricular activities, youth and government, Spanish club advisor. Most of them are the club activity things, Decker advisor, that sort of thing. Typically, we do those towards the end of the year. They were a little later than usual this year, but we did get them today in time, so... I'm sorry, Friday.
And a good portion of these are grant funded.
That's correct.
Yep. So it's not.
There's quite a few in there that are grant funded.
Especially like the after school programs.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these, like the athletic things, that doesn't start till school starts, right?
That's correct.
Maybe we could do those. What? I don't know how many need to be done now and how many could be done in our first meeting in August.
I think sports pick up this. They start the last week of July. Tryouts are last week of July.
I know. If I was coaching a sport, I'd want to know now if I was coaching.
Middle school.
Why would we want to wait?
August.
Why would we want to wait on appointing on these appointments?
Sorry.
There are no new positions, right?
No.
No.
They're all existing.
No,
they're
no,
just
got it.
Just
I don't know.
They're not new positions, they're appointments to existing positions. Any other?
Ms. Crawford would like to say something, if that's okay with the board.
The majority of those that were added were high school, so I could speak to what they are if somebody had a question about them, just because that used to be one of the things that I did. But it's the clubs and organizations and everything, those folks are hired with a July 1 start date because many of them have activities that start up in the summertime. And for the sake of efficiency, having them all go through at once is helpful.
Okay.
The clubs and organizations that are part of the collective bargaining agreements, the team leaders, et cetera, all have things that they're responsible for as part of that stipend starting in July.
Okay. Have we filled out the positions? All the open teaching positions?
No, we have some positions that are left.
Do we have interviews scheduled?
Yep, we're working on them. Some we're getting responses to, and some we're getting none on.
Excellent.
Yep.
Okay,
Ms. Dr. Crawford, would you mind speaking to the professional growth and evaluation model?
So, there is the end agreements from a meeting that took place on February 19th. The professional growth and evaluation model is a component of the collective bargaining agreement, and it is something that comes under periodic review to make sure that everything is moving forward. There's a list up there at the top of the participants at this year's review meeting. At the end of the meeting, when changes happen, the Federation of Teachers votes to accept the changes, and then it comes before the school board. They did meet on May 30th and unanimously voted to accept the changes. None of them are significant. Most of them are intended to help kind of the workflow of things and clarify points. One of them, for instance, states that a teacher who's put on a support plan needs to be informed of that in person, not just through an email. So just to kind of help with all of that, adding a couple of clarifying deadlines to make sure that workflow happens in a way that works for everybody, and then an agreement that the SAU leadership is going to create a chart of all of the dates to make sure that things don't get missed along the way. It's a complex plan. It works really well. For the most part, this is something that was originally agreed upon back in 2015, and then it was amended in August of 2017. And then the next review meeting for it, similar membership for the review meeting, is going to be in the late winter, early spring of next year. Just the best practices to do this on an annual basis, make sure that things are moving, make sure that it's doing the things that we want it to do, and any clarifying points. But happy to answer any questions anybody has. So our walkthrough model is a really effective evaluation tool. It's something that we're really proud of and really provide constant and high quality feedback to instructional staff. So definitely something that's pretty remarkable. A lot of districts still utilize a model that requires the teacher be given advance warning whenever somebody comes in to do an observation. And a huge component of this plan is that we don't do that. Everybody's observed 3 times a year. A summative walkthrough is a longer session, and you usually get a heads up that, or you have to have a heads up that that's going to happen sometime within the next week. One of the tweaks to the plan was if the administrator says, I'm coming in the next week,
and the week passes and they don't get there because something unexpected comes up, then that window's closed and they have to open a new one, just kind of making sure that all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed. But that aspect that we don't have, what used to be referred to as the old dog and pony show, is a really important thing that we've been able to utilize the last few years to really be able to focus feedback for teachers and to be able to then use that feedback to help with targeted professional development, like Bob was referring to earlier.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anybody have questions?
Number three, to the second administrator on the improvement plan. So I guess all if a teacher was on the improvement plan, is two administrators assigned to that?
Yes, part of the plan that was an existing aspect of the plan when somebody, so this, there's a support plan that somebody can be put on. An improvement plan is a one step further and a lot more prescribed. And there's two administrators on it to make sure that you've got two eyes on the situation. But the clarifying piece was that both of those administrators don't have to be present at every meeting that happens. Again, it's a procedural piece.
Now, in the case of the elementary school too, with the new model, does that pose any changes? I mean, would that second administrator be someone from the SAU potentially?
The administrators are the principals in buildings that have them, the assistant principals, the special education coordinators, and then the plan specifically states if somebody from the SAU needs to come in and help, that's the director of curriculum instruction and assessment.
Okay. So we've got about covered. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Crawford.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Laurie.
So the first thing is that I truly was confident that I was going to have an audit report for you tonight, and it is sitting with the office administrator to process. And
at the
attorney's office.
Yes, yeah, that's what I'm trying.
Auditor's office, the firm. So it's with the the office administrator, and that they believe it will be processed within the next day or two. So I don't have that. Was not in the packet, not available to hand out. I included a financial report in the packet. I don't know if you've had a chance to review it. If there are any questions.
Yeah, on the first page, amount unencumbered, total $871,948. Is that our approximate surplus?
No, that is not.
It is not.
It is not. So, do you want to discuss that with the surplus discussion? The revenues are not. The tuition numbers were down from what we had anticipated. And then, of course, during the budget season, we're approximating taxes, and those tax revenues were down as well because we had other unanticipated, I think, revenues. So it all flows into the tax rate and the calculation. So the monies from the town was down, as was tuition revenue.
We can wait. I just wanted to know if that was an error.
Okay. I also included budget transfers. None of these are transfers that require authorization, but I am the responsibility to share transfers with you. There are more frequent ones towards the end of the year as we clean up things and people are making transactions. What was included in the packet that was just handed out this evening is a report. It's a school tax impact. It's something that we had revised last year to try to address the surplus and the tax impact at the same time. I was working on a document to go with it, but it didn't. That would show, we talk often about how projecting the tax rate is difficult and that our budget does not always translate equally into the change in the tax rate. And so I'm working on a document that has the town valuations, and it would be separated by Hillsborough and by Daring, that has the valuations, the change in the budget numbers, and the change in the local education tax rates, because we have no bearing on, we don't set the state education tax rate, and our budget doesn't have a bearing on that. That's at the state level. So if we look at just the local tax rate component to the town's property tax, and we compare that to valuations, and we compare it to the budget, you'll see, unfortunately I don't have that here, but there is a direct correlation to valuations and tax rates. So there are bits of information that I cannot possibly project and foresee. So this document provides the information that I have, and historically, the percentage of change in the local tax rate has not been that high. So you'll see in this document it shows 14% for Hillsborough, a 7.4% for Deering. When we look at the historical data, that's not what happens. But this is based on the information that I have available to me at this time. So this is a document that has historically been provided. We tweaked it a little bit last year. I continued to provide it this year. It's information that's requested. I don't find it terribly useful.
Okay, I do have a question on this then.
Mm-hmm.
Actual fund balance returned, 16-18-030, that's last year.
That's last year's, yes.
Okay, we're still in this year. Any idea what our surplus is going to be?
What I have here for estimated surplus to return is $500,000. Now, what we've found is that when it comes down to it, it ends up being usually higher. But that's because the surplus, when I'm looking at this, I'm looking at your revenue in and your cash flow out. So it's a cash basis is what I'm looking at. And when it comes down to the end of the year and the annual reports, it's on an accrual basis with all of our year-end accruals, our receivables from the state, from other districts, any encumbrances and that type of data, and I don't have that nailed down yet. So I continue to present this on a cash flow basis, cash in, cash out. So I'm looking at about $500,000. I think last year at this time we were looking at about $700,000. You know, we didn't have the margin with the health insurance that we have had previously. We've really been working on tightening up the budget, and there just aren't as large of fluctuations as there have been previously. So this is what I have to present at this time. So there is also in this packet requested use of these savings. We had a request from each building. And you can see, so the high school, they have calf tables that are breaking. And they were looking to buy some round ones. They'd like to move away from rectangle and move to the round ones as well. And with discussion, the seats are like, they think ready to go, but they're not unusable at this time. Well, in the elementary school, evidently, the thought process is that rectangle tables might be preferable to round tables for behavior and noise levels and what have you in the calf. And so in talking with the two administrators, what we've decided we're going to do is there are 12 or 14 tables at the high school level that we're going to swap with the elementary school. And so elementary school will have a mix of rectangle and circular tables in their cafeteria. And so it addresses our needs and concerns at this time for the larger students without spending money. And then we will, what I've talked to administrators about is that, you know, I think we need to start putting money in the budget to, on a rotating basis, work on replacing caf tables in the different buildings. So, you know, if we do that, it doesn't have to be on a building budget basis, but on a district basis, and then, you know, we can use the funds where we need them for calf furniture. We are In the fourth and fifth grade wings this year, we're replacing lighting and ceiling tiles. That's all within our budget that James so aptly manages each year. That's also part of the reason why there's been a decline in requests for use of surplus monies is because James is a level funding budget, and he manages it each year to, you know, maximize the use and get projects taken care of and to maintain the building. We would like to replace the lockers in those wings. Those lockers, I think we're estimating they're 30 to 40 years old. There's a lot of maintenance put into them to repair them, and we'd like to replace those. We did look at cubbies, and we think that that might be, you know, not the best use of the space for the age group and to meet fire codes and things like that. So we're looking at lockers, and it would cost just under $26,000. So that is one of our requests, to use some of the surplus money to buy these lockers. In the middle school, we have been experimenting with adjustable height tables in both rectangular and circular to address some of the student needs and behaviors and such. And they would like to buy some more of those. They found that the sampling that they had for this year worked really well, and they would like to buy more. They're removing the computer lab from the library, so we'd like to purchase chairs to put into the library so we can utilize that space better. So you can see that the total between the elementary and the middle school that we're asking to use from our fiscal savings is about $38,000. And that's about 7.5% of our surplus.
So does the high school, is the high school going to get the elementary school tables, and we don't, so we don't need anything from the high school at all?
Okay. For the high school, what we're going to do right now is we're going to swap between the two buildings, so
okay.
Rectangle tables are coming down,
yeah.
Rounds going.
Okay, so we've solved that through that move.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so it's really
okay.
Just looking at the middle school and the
elementary. Yep, the top box,
$38,000. The $15,000 that was listed there, was that what it would have cost if we weren't doing
yeah.
a swap?
Okay. Yes, and I mean, that's a heavily discounted price as well for
yeah.
those tables, but that was the request that came in, and we thought it was important that you realize that we
mm-hmm.
are looking for other solutions, too.
And the adjustable height tables, is that 56 tables? That were?
Yes.
And what are the conditions of the lockers currently? Like, do they need to be replaced, or is it a matter of the walls will be pretty, the floors, I mean, the ceiling will be pretty, the floor will be pretty, and everything else won't be pretty? Like, what's the...
Can I say something to that, Lori? The lockers, if you are in the hallway when the kids are getting out of school, they can't close their lockers without slamming them shut. They're all distorted, and... The lockers that my husband had when he was in high school. But, so, yeah, it's a racket, and they just
well,
can't open and close them easily.
Okay.
It's a struggle, from what I've seen.
Be easier to close them.
I don't know if you want James to speak to
James.
James is willing to. James came tonight in
Kay.
Case you had any questions about
lockers. Talk to me about lockers.
I'm curly hit it on the head. They are noisy, their screws are loose in them, you know, we're always chasing, trying to fix them. I could say probably it's 2 to 3 times a week we get a call saying somebody can't get into the locker. Typically it's the end of the day, so we're running around getting kids' lockers open because the handles, screws can't hold the handle to the bar that raises.
And this isn't locks, this is just the locker, because they don't have locks.
Locker,
they don't have locks.
Those screws come off, they break just from jarring during the day, and we have to go down and jimmy them open. Same thing, aesthetically, they've been in there probably original.
Oh.
I can imagine that they're probably.
Wow. Okay.
The 50s when that section was built.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So they should have a lot of metal that we should be able to get money for and sell, right? Because they're all metal.
Scrap is not. The market isn't there.
No?
Not right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Another question. Switching rectangle tables and circular tables, do we have the lunchroom space to do that? I mean, you know. maybe rectangles fit in now.
So I had asked that question as well, and what we'll end up doing is right now the elementary school CAF is kind of split into two, and my understanding is that they kind of alternate sides, so you know, you sit on one side and then the other side's being cleaned and then you swap out. My understanding is that the rectangulars would fit on one half and the one half would still be rounds, and that we should be good with the space at the high school as well. Before making that change, we would definitely verify that before going through the effort of moving in between buildings. But
any other questions?
Where are the adjustable height tables going to be used?
Classrooms, I believe.
So is that flexible seating, essentially, for all the classrooms?
Yeah. Okay. It does provide that customization for the student needs.
Mm-hmm. So when you gave us the separate topic from lockers, but when you gave us the $500,000, was that after any of the trusts were funded as well? Any of the trust accounts?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's after the trust.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to...
That's returning back to taxes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that those were funded first.
So what do we think on these?
I have a comment on this. How can we... I mean, I'm looking at that Hills local school tax rate line, and we're going to ask another $1.1 million of tax revenue from Hillsborough. That's the only thing that we can control as far as setting the tax rate. All the other stuff is controlled by the state and the evaluations and stuff. Mm-hmm. How can we justify spending $37,000 on lockers and tables when we could conceivably be looking at a 14% increase in our taxes? I don't see how we can vote for that with a good conscience. I just don't see how we can do that. I know we need them, but I mean, if that number were a lot closer, I think we could justify it, but that, I have trouble with that.
Any other comments? What do other people think on it?
Short, sweet, I agree with Rich.
Carla, Chris?
I see where Rich and Paul are coming from, but I mean, I do think that estimate is probably high, and it's not saying that that's what the tax rate is going to be, because the state does that. So we don't know. I mean, we're still a little ways out from knowing what everything's going to look like, in the fall. And again, I mean, what we're looking for to do, I think it benefits the kids learning-wise, especially with the lockers. The tables, it's probably more, if you have tables that are falling apart. But I mean, still, if the tables are going to kind of help to change the environment in there, we're not looking at a huge amount of money. If you were to boil that money down, I don't think that it would make a huge impact on the tax rate. It's not like we're looking for $100,000 or more. We're $40,000.
Can we survive without any of this and budget into the next budget? Will the world end if we do not replace the lockers or the tables?
No, the world will not end. My understanding is that the locker discussion has been a repeat for years. The tables, I asked, what if you could get something, what would you like? And mm-hmm. They're putting it into the classroom because, again, James has been able to manage the building.
Yep.
I think that in the past, some of the things that have been denied at year end haven't necessarily worked themselves into the budget. We'll make sure that they work themselves into the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think that a level funding is a good idea so that we're on a rolling basis buying some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that that's necessarily a good approach for lockers, but.
If we were to pick one of the two, is there one that's more important than the other?
I would like to defer to somebody else.
I don't know if that's a, yeah.
What?
I mean,
I think
that would there be one that would, yeah.
Tonight is the moving on ceremony at the middle school, so the middle school principal isn't here. And the high school principal is also not here, so without the two of them being here to weigh in on that, and the high school principal has agreed to swap them out, and you've got the elementary principal here, so I don't know, it's kind of a Sophie's choice.
Yeah. Any other thoughts?
I mean, but switching out the tables, I mean, since those aren't, that's on a dollar item, that's something that can happen either way.
Right. I mean, if you would like to ask Ms. Furlong to speak to the tables or the lockers, she is here. If that's a request
okay
that you have,
yeah.
she doesn't mind being put on the spot. I do it to her all the time. So
I don't doubt that we need them.
Okay.
It's just a question of do we want to spend the money this year? I mean, based on this sheet that she just gave us, that's what it comes down to. I would concede that it would be nice to have them, but again, do we want to spend the money now, knowing what may be coming down the road?
Yeah, maybe I just question it.
If
we phrase the question, not to put her on the spot, but in terms of is there benefit to doing it now versus waiting a year, is there something that might help with the situation, you know, indirectly? I mean, it's not going to be a magic solution, but it's going to help the environment in the schools.
I mean, it's entirely a board's decision what to do with this. It's you're talking about not returning $38,000, which is about $7 per household, and that's a decision that's entirely yours.
I want my $7.
Oh. I'll lend you $7 if you need it.
Right here.
I'll lend you seven.
Sir, is that true?
Yeah, but when it comes right down to it, though, if somebody asks this, if for instance, the tax rate goes up by 14%, which is worst case scenario, and we can honestly say we did everything. If we don't spend this money, this is the only money that we really have a choice on. We can say we've done everything we can to mitigate the increase in taxes. If we don't, we can't say that. Right?
Maybe Lori can set me straight here. The actual fund balance returned last year was $1,618,000, and we're only going to return $500,000 this year projected.
Right.
So I will remind you that last year we projected $700,000 at this time for a return, and again it comes down to when we do all of our final year end and receivables.
I understand, but look at this tax rate.
This sheet is always, and this was my preamble.
This is the information
that it has historically been requested and provided. And historically, we've had the discussions that it doesn't provide a lot of useful information because it doesn't really reflect what the tax change ends up being.
It's over $1 million difference, less that we're returning this year.
Last year, didn't we have a fund surplus from the year before?
We also have a fund surplus this year with $200,000 that was retained last year. The previous year, it was about $250,000,
right. I believe. That was included in that 1.6.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
so that number is abnormally high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we also had monies that were from the trust fund last year. And
yeah, understood.
I mean, they're tables and chairs and lockers, so it's not directly impacting. Although I do have strong feelings about the flexible seating, because I think that there are a lot of students that can benefit from that. It's not worth a giant debacle and debate over. So I'm comfortable saying no. Paul said no. Rich said no. Carl, you haven't said much. Chris didn't really firmly say one way or the other. If I was going to do anything, I would say the tables and maybe the chairs. But the lockers, I would like to see James put that in the budget for next year, knowing that they are on their last leg.
He's
I know that the middle school administrators aren't here, but the chairs for the library, with the computer lab being out, if we don't get chairs, I mean, what would be the use for that?
We'll make it work. We'll make it work.
They always make it work. That's what they do. So, what do we want to do?
Can I just make a comment?
At public comment in a few minutes.
Okay.
Thank you. All right. Do you have last chance to speak?
The adjustable height tables, I'm sorry, I keep turning myself off, are going into classrooms in the middle school. How many in each?
56 in the middle.
No, I know.
Oh,
but,
sorry.
I mean, how many classrooms are there? There's like six or seven in each wing, right? And then
I don't know the specifics of how they're using them.
That's just a lot.
It's a lot of tables.
Seating. A lot. Yeah. I mean, I could see a couple.
I think that Mr. Bailey would.
Mr. Bailey?
Is it?
Typically, in those classrooms, you have 10 to 12 tables in a classroom. So you're really only talking 4 or 5 classrooms.
And where are those tables going to go that are existing now?
A lot of those have some issues. We've been patching, welding, a lot of the table boxes are starting to get scuffed up. So we would go through, pick out the ones that are the worst for a lot of classrooms, and then it's all these.
So what do you guys think? We got a yes to vote on it, or a yes to pass on it?
We can vote on it.
You want to, Matt will make this a vote?
Yeah.
You want to make it?
We vote on it later on.
Yeah. Action items.
You want to make it an action item? Okay. So we can vote. All right.
I mean, one last comment, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking, if we do wait, if we're passing on it now, thinking that we're going to try to put it in the budget, we don't necessarily know what else may come up in the budget that we may need to. So I mean, we might be looking at the same thing and may end up just getting bumped out. So if there's something that I think, if it's something we feel is important that has to get replaced at some point, I guess that's the other thing I'm thinking about and wrangling around in my brain right now. Okay. So, thank you.
Yep. Thank you, Lori. Anything else for you?
Nope.
Okay. The minutes from May 20th, and then we can look at June 3rd.
Just a couple little things on page 3. My statement, we have 4 buildings if you count the old school, old building.
What letter are you on?
It's 3.
Oh, J.
Yeah. That was if you count the old building, not the old building.
Oh, taking old and replacing it with old?
Yeah.
Under J.
I mean, I have nothing against the old buildings.
Oh, alt. Alt, yeah.
Is that our building?
Well,
we lease
where we have rents.
We don't own it.
We don't own it, but we
fix it up and
we have to take
it.
Any other comments on this one? Do you guys want to move on to the.
Do you want to do it both together or is it on a motion?
We're not on action item. So you're doing it now? You want
to.
I guess we can do it now anyway.
I'm going to ask on page 4.
Yep.
I guess I missed that. 3B. Asking the board to grant intellectual property rights in the event he leaves the district.
I don't think that was he. That was the team.
Yeah.
That was what?
That was the team that developed the podcast.
Oh, the team. Okay.
Yeah. It's not just Jim. I think it was like 3J Productions or something. Whatever they're calling themselves. 3J Productions, I think.
That's J3 here, so
yep.
If it's not...
J3.
Yeah. Just make sure that's correct.
Yep. And in the business administrator's report, it says Deering has made their payment, but Hillsborough's payment will be posted soon. Hillsborough's behind, I guess.
Laurie, is Hillsborough behind in making their payment?
Yep.
So they haven't posted it yet?
We had 1 month to post it.
Okay.
They're still behind.
I pay my taxes.
I haven't paid mine.
we should have the balance due on the 28th.
Let's do them one at a time. Just,
okay. Yeah. I'll make a motion to approve the May 20th minutes as amended.
Is there a second?
A second.
All those in favor?
But we can have a motion. We didn't vote on the Paul's amendments, did we?
I just included it in the
motion.
Do it that way?
That's fine.
Okay. What changes?
But we didn't have a motion.
Okay,
ongoing.
So call them out.
That was just a discussion.
Yep, call them out. So, amendment. So, J needs to be the alt. J1 needs to be the alt school, not the
alt
old school.
I'll make alt. A motion to change old to alt under J1.
3D needs to be the team, not he leaves the district. I think that was the only, those
the only two changes you had, right?
Yeah, well, under, on the last page, page 5, mock-up session, we have Chris Rober.
In oh. There,
and oh.
New person.
Yeah.
And then Q2C should be Bober.
Yeah.
Like
thank you, Bob.
Did you get that one again?
Oh, roll R-O-L-E, this be R-O-L-L.
And you should have one how each person voted when you take roll call. So each person's name should say yes or no.
Do you want to finish? Any other amendment?
Do you want to go down all those amendments together?
Yep.
So make the motion.
To amend the minute?
To amend those minutes with those changes.
Okay. Is there
second?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay. Now we need a motion on the actual minutes.
Make a motion to pass the May 20th, to accept the May 20th minutes as amended.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion passes 5-0. Okay. June 3rd. It's also in the packet. Any discussion?
Same as you did your public.
So page 4N. Make a motion to update the word roll to ROLL.
Mm-hmm. Any other discussion items for that?
And then I'll take out that into list that we've consented to go to that public.
Any other? You want to make is that a motion?
That is a motion, so...
Is there a second? Is there a second for that?
Second.
All those in favor?
Are we voting on the minutes or the change?
The change.
Just the change?
Yes, there's just the change.
Yeah, roll to roll, and then okay. Listing to present.
Okay.
So all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay.
Motion to accept the June 3rd minutes as amended.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay, that one passes 5-0 as well. All right, public comment. Just a reminder, public comments are an opportunity for members of the public to share an idea or concern. Comments are limited to 5 minutes per person, and it is not the practice of the board to immediately respond to comments. Is there any public comment, Mr. Bossy?
Thank you.
Yep.
I'm referring to Dr. Crawford's report. It talks about areas of concern, support plan, or improvement plan. My question is, what happens to a teacher who does not improve in areas of concern, does not follow the support plan, or simply does not improve after being put on an improvement plan?
Any other comments? Okay, thank you.
I don't get an answer.
We're still doing public comment. We haven't responded to you yet.
There is one that comes in the next.
Any other public comment? Yep.
Yeah, I just want to comment on the word surplus. What that means is, once all financial commitments have been made, whatever is left over is surplus. And surplus should go back to the taxpayers. Well, I'm a taxpayer, and I would rather see it back to me rather than sitting there or having a wish list to spend what we can before we give back what's left. I know you did the right thing. Thank you. That's all.
Can you just tell us your name and where, what town you're from?
Everett Chamberlain from Hillsborough.
Thank you.
Superintendent's
name by keeping him alive. Any other public
comment? Yeah. No, go ahead.
You go first.
Oh, come on.
I've already commented earlier.
All right.
Name and where you're from?
Ben Chadwick, Hillsborough. And you made a comment, and correct me if I'm wrong. Just Hillsborough is going up 14%. Or is it Hillsborough and Deering potentially going up 14% on their tax rate?
I think it's all speculative right now. I don't think anything's firm definitive.
Nothing is
Deering said 7 and Hillsborough 14.
Right. Why the discrepancy?
I don't know that that's our definitive answer.
It varies on
is that?
Yeah.
With
a response on previous
No,
comments,
I know, that's so, why okay. We can talk about that after.
Okay, and you, what town are you from?
Deering. Yep.
Okay, the 7%. Okay.
Any other comments, Mr. Chadwick?
No, not right now.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Segedy.
On your EAKB policy that's there for the second reading. Within it.
John, can you speak up a little bit?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. On the EAKB policy that's there that you're doing a second reading on, within it, it states that a plan will be created by June 30th of 2019. In that, this policy will not be fully done by that date unless plan has already been created without the policy, which could be. It would seem that you might want to change the date of when that plan is due. Due before the policy even exists. And if it's already, the plan's already been created, you just scratch that whole section out of the policy. It just doesn't make sense the way it is. In your budget each year, including this past year, I believe, you have line items for furniture. When you discussed the budget and then put it to the voters, that was the time to add in lockers or tables or those type of things, or to allow a level amount, as I believe some used as a phrase, you know, try and do so many a year. That could already be part of that, and it already there's something in there for furniture. Yeah. I don't believe that they were zeroed out this year. I don't have that in front of me because wasn't provided this in advance, as I believe was one of my other complaints about the fact that this is even being thought of at this point in time. I could have prepared and given you specifics if necessary, but you certainly, there's no reason to be spending it. You should be giving everything back you can in light of the projected increase and the fact that it was already too high before the increase.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Yes,
Steve
name
Blanchett,
and. I'm sorry, I missed
Steve Blanchett, Hillsborough.
Okay. Yep.
Have we looked at, anybody looked into surplus like lockers? Because when I worked at Norton Company, we picked up 100 lockers for like $50. Because there's a lot of places that have been going out of business. Same with tables, chairs. I mean, we sanded the lockers down, we sprayed them for $100. You're golden. Why do we have to have new lockers? That's all I'm saying. I mean, I'm a taxpayer. I'm sick of paying high taxes now. I've got a lot of stuff in my house I'd like to replace too, but I can't, so.
Any other public comment?
Just add, there are tables available at every year at the White Barn State Surplus, and you can usually get the next to nothing if you're as a school district.
Anything else? All right, response. Anybody have a response?
I was just going to say that Hillsborough Deering tax rate changes every year depending on the number of students, evaluation of property. One, a previous business administrator made a comment, you can almost expect them to change every year, like Deering might be higher last year, Hillsborough this year, Deering. It goes back and forth, again, depending on students and valuation properties.
Can you address Mr.
Sure.
Bossy's
I can address a bunch of them.
Okay,
I would welcome Mr. Bossy if you'd like to have you come in and look at the teacher evaluation model. And I can run through the whole thing with you page by page. There's a support plan, there's an improvement plan, there's an entire process. It's very clearly spelled out. Usually when we get to the point where the person has been on the improvement plan, they've been on the support plan, we've provided them professional development to make them better at their job. Typically, they're aware of where they're at as far as their likelihood to have their contract renewed. Most people at that point choose to resign on their own as opposed to being terminated. The terminations come forward to the board as a non-renewal. In my 7 years here, there have been many people that have reached the point where they're not as effective a teacher as they may have been when they started. We also have the evaluation model was done without any fight or pushback at all from the Teachers Association. I believe it was 8 years, 7 years ago that we did this particular model, and it's been highly effective. You may have somebody that you heard something about while you're at the milk counter at Shaw's that so-and-so's the worst teacher ever. And you have absolutely no knowledge whatsoever what kind of a teacher that is from that conversation. That's that person's opinion. We're charged with making sure people do the best that they can. And like I said, I think it might have been before you came in the room, most of those people are treated with dignity. Dignity is when you have 254 employees or whatever it is, that you counsel them perhaps out of that particular job or position. Some go willingly, some need a little more of a nudge than others. I would love you to take a look at that someday, and I'd share that with the board. It's something that's public. And I don't know how many people you supervise, so I don't know if you have a employee, 100 employees, or two employees, you and Joyce. And developing a plan that treats people professionally, and again, with dignity, is something that we worked very hard on, and quite frankly, I've been around a long time, 45 years in this particular business, and I never saw a more collegial, collaborative relationship in developing this plan. It's been extraordinarily effective, and I think it was before you came in. We're not big believers in public shaming. So it's something that we do. We don't write about them and say this is the worst teacher ever because I heard it from so-and-so while I was getting my gas. We do it in a very professional manner. And I think it would help answer, I think it would answer 99.9% of any of the questions you have. So I'd like to arrange that at some point, or anybody else that would like to. Is this discussion or is this
just
comment?
One comment, that's it.
Thank you. So I hope that answers the question that you had. The next thing I'd like to do is talk about the policy question that was brought up. June 30th is the legal mandate. If you follow this all the way through and you actually read the entire thing, and I realize, John, you didn't get a chance to do that. But to address that June 30th date, we have a draft plan. But we can't present a plan if we don't have a policy that's been accepted that the law says we're supposed to have a policy for. So that's kind of a convoluted situation that we're in, and I don't disagree with you that how do you approve something that has the policy for it that requires it hasn't been approved. But unfortunately, sometimes we get caught up in those kind of circular kind of arguments.
Well, I think the timing on this one, too, kind of came up on us. We didn't get it until fairly recently, if I remember,
right,
in policy.
Right. What we're finding is a lot of the policies and things that we're getting from the forces beyond our control. And I'll give the state as an example of that. The CSI program that we talked about earlier this evening, we got notified by the Department of Education, hurry up and get in here, we need to meet with all the superintendents. And I think that was November or December, and then we didn't hear anything from them for several months, nothing. Meanwhile, there was funding available, over $100,000 for this. This schedule on the state level has been about 5 or 6 months behind, and I'm being kind. It's probably been longer than that. Fortunately, we didn't disagree with anything that they really said in the Ed West, the independent survey group. These are things that we've been addressing, that we've been working on, because certainly I don't want to wait around for the state when they're 5 months behind on when they're actually going to have a company that they said that would be in place. So it is exasperating that some of these situations have occurred the way they have. We'll certainly look if we can see that the GSA, the Government Surplus Group, I'm on their mailing list. We get that all the time. Whenever they have an auction, we're notified, and we go through it, and we see if there are things that we would look for. That's a great idea. I'm sure there's been some great bargains. None so far for anything we were looking for at that time, but I do want you to know that we do look at that. I would say that we replace lockers every 50 years wouldn't be a bad thing, Steve. So I think that we're in that kind of odd situation where, yes, I think right now there's a lot of focus on these particular things, but there's no debate that they've outlived their life expectancy. Trying to run through here, the tax situation as far as the rate goes, this has been a discussion that this board has had ever since I've been here. Prior to my coming here, we had a situation in Hillsboro where the property values went down. Rich might remember the number better. I believe it went down somewhere around 20% over a period of 2 years. Well, when your property value goes down 20% and you want to provide the same services, your tax rate has to go up 20% to get to the same level of service. And taxpayers have, and I'm a taxpayer, as you know, I'm a neighbor and I own a house and whatnot. When you look at the actual tax rate, that's directly proportional to the value of your home. And if the values of the home 8 years ago, 10 years ago, went down 20%, we as taxpayers have a much bigger problem with our values of our properties being worth 20% less than they were a few years ago, as we do with the tax rate. Because the tax rate is a result of that decrease in the property value. And I think, hopefully, that's going to change over a period of time. What we can safely say is that I don't think we're going to see a 14% on this, because, as Laurie presented it, it's not one factor alone. There are many variables that go into it. I think Rich makes a very valid point. There are things that we do control in that, but there are a lot of things that the DRA, the Department of Revenue Administration, that they determine what that rate's going to be. We're also caught in this cycle where we've had great savings. We've worked real hard. When we can save a buck, we try to save a buck. When we can replace a person that's making $65,000 with a perfectly good teacher that's making $35,000, and if the one that's leaving is on a family plan and the one that's coming in is on a single plan, we get some savings there. We also looked at what the biggest areas that we've had on our savings have typically been on the healthcare costs. And with the healthcare costs, there's what they call a guaranteed maximum increase, GMI. And typically, this was one of those. I'm sorry, can you not hear me, John? Am I not speaking?
Oh, I can hear real well.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were signaling me that you couldn't hear me.
I was signaling that you should be at 5 minutes like the rest
of us. Funny, John, I'm not. Okay, so to go back to, I'm sorry for the interruption, I just thought you couldn't hear me. The guaranteed maximum rate increase was as high as 10, 11, 12, 13%, Laurie. And then what happens is they come in and they tell us that it's 6 or 7 or 8%. That's a huge savings, but we can't count on that. And the two biggest swings that make up a number this high, that's $500,000 or $1 million, there are basically two things that are going to drive it. And the biggest one is going to be the health insurance. Now, this year we had a swing of?
I think the guarantee, the GMR was 1%, and it came in at minus 0.7 or something.
So we had a swing of only 1% there. So we wouldn't see as big a number as we saw last year. But when the years when it's double digits and they drop it down to the single digits, all of a sudden we had this big savings. But, and I'd like to take credit for that or blame for it, whatever the case may be, but we don't have control over that. The other one that we see a big increase in, and this happened about 5 years ago, we had some students that were out of district, special education students, and we had a swing in 1 week that was $500,000. That was a change in that person, that family moving out, and that was a savings of $500,000. So when you see some of these numbers, it's not because there are factors that we always can control. So I don't know if that helps with the 14.7%. I know you wanted Chris to answer the Deering one.
Jeez, well, I just wanted you to answer Lee Bossy's question.
Well, I'm trying to answer them.
No,
all.
I know.
Frankly, the superintendent didn't answer my question.
For your evaluation question? The improvement plan question?
Yeah.
If they don't improve, they get terminated.
Thank you.
They don't.
Thank you. That was my question. Yeah. Why doesn't it say that?
Yeah.
I have no problem with
it. Come in and see it.
It's a great policy.
Of course it does. If you had hundreds of people.
I resent the implication that I'm suggesting you humiliate the commission.
Okay.
You shouldn't. You need to help them.
That's what we do. So thank you for.
They also need to know clearly if they don't improve, they're not going to be renewed.
Yes.
My concern doesn't come from talking to people at shops. It comes from talking about half a dozen of your top teachers who are sick and tired of evaluations which simply rate everybody as sufficient and renewed.
Okay. Thank you. Okay.
I was just going to
answer
Abby's question. You probably have a chance to go to the town office and have your taxes reduced. Seriously, if you just mention you live next door to wild parties in the middle of the night, your taxes should be reduced.
My house would be burned.
Well, okay. Moving back on. All right, action items. Appointments, leaves, and resignations. So we have the second packet has the updated version, correct? We're not using the other one. Okay.
That's correct.
Is there a motion to approve?
Someone's motion to approve the appointments, leaves, and resignations.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
I'd like to amend that.
Oh.
I'd like to take out Kelly Dinsmore, the high school tutor, from that vote because she started May 29th and ended June 3rd, so she's already done.
Where are you looking at that?
Which page?
High school tutor. Started May 29th and ended June 3rd.
Hold on 2 seconds.
Okay.
First page.
One of the ones that's highlighted.
Yep, right there. No, it's not. Kelly Dinsmore. That one.
Yeah, I saw it.
Oh,
okay.
But it's not highlighted.
No, it's not highlighted. So is that carryover? Did we already? That's already passed.
That's correct. And unfortunately, that does happen when we have a student that is out. And this particular student that was out on May 29th, there was no way to get that approved by the board in that period, in that period of time.
So they were tutoring a student
that
was out of school?
That's correct.
Okay.
Second.
Is there a second to take that off? Going once, going twice.
I'm not sure I understand what's going on.
When a kid needs tutoring, they need it right away. And in the past, the board has always understood that the tutor is needed immediately. So unfortunately, the approval doesn't always fall within the timeline of when the meetings are.
Okay.
This
student here? Paul seems to think the student is gone.
No, that he's saying that the effective date is passed. He doesn't think that we should vote on it.
Okay,
it's
okay.
It is June 3rd.
Okay, but we haven't approved it, so
correct.
Now we have to approve something.
Now
that's been the practice of the board in the past. That
okay.
I just
them.
Think we should approve the future, not history.
But sometimes that happens.
I'd be willing to agree with you on that, but that would mean you'd need to be called and you'd have to have a board meeting every time we hired a tutor. And that's the wish of the board, certainly. That's the wish of the board.
Is this for high school
yes.
studies, not beyond high school that they're being tutored for?
Well, you're going to have to clarify beyond high school to me. Are you talking about a kid who hasn't reached sufficient credit in the 4 years? I don't know when it would be if it was beyond. If the kid had graduated, is that what?
Currently enrolled is what you're referring to.
Right, are they
yes,
currently
enrolled? Yes, currently.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, because there could be a lot of other circumstances.
Yeah.
So, Paul had a motion on the table. Was there a second? No. So we have a motion by Chris to approve. We have a second by Herla. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstained?
I abstained.
I'm going to recuse myself because my husband is on this list. So I'm not going to vote, period. So 3-0-1-1, I guess. We don't have anything to vote on for the live stream, correct?
Nope.
Okay. Professional growth and evaluation model update, HDSD, the growth and evaluation. That was Dr. Crawford's presentation. Is there a motion? We have to approve that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was part of the agreement.
Ah, gotcha. Is there a motion to approve the HDSD professional growth and evaluation model update?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion passes 5-0. Okay, policies requiring board action. EHAB, data governance and security, second reading. Is there a motion?
I'll motion to accept the second reading of EHAB, data governance and security.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstained? 5-0. Policy IJ, instructional resources and instructional resource plan revision.
I will make a motion to accept the revision to IJ instructional resources and instructional resources plan.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstained? Motion passes 5-0. All right, budget savings. So this is a vote on the surplus. So we have a list of tables, chairs, and lockers, essentially. Is there a motion for that item, whether that be together, separate, however?
I'll make a motion that we spend zero amount.
Is there a second?
You don't need a motion to spend nothing.
But he wants to make a motion. All right, let's be wrong.
If we get a motion and a second, we can have a discussion on it too again.
Is there a motion for a second to spend zero?
Or another motion.
Or a different motion. It's lockers and tables and a surplus. We don't.
Is your time limited on the second?
Yeah. I think that one died.
It's up.
I think that's dead. So is there a motion on the table for anything?
Can we make a motion for $1? No, forget that.
Motion to adjourn.
Is there any motion for anything? Otherwise, we are not going to vote on this today. We're going to let it pass. Going once. Going twice. Okay, we're gonna not vote on anything tonight. Do we need a non-public?
Nope.
Okay. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Listen,
about the public, I got another question.
We are done with that.
Once they adjourn, you can talk to anybody you want. Go up there and talk to them.
Motion to adjourn?
Come on.
Second.
Okay, all those in favor?
That was quick.
Sheesh.
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstained? Thank you.
Because we need a second on her list of motions. Exactly.
You're looking at me to read back.
What if it was, if we said not formally, I was the assistant principal of the lower grades in Barnes Smithers?
Yeah, what do you got?
Well, technically,
I think we're overcomplicating this.
Yeah,
what do we got?
Just to give her something else. Served as an assistant principal in Barnstead for the lower levels in the elementary school under a different structure.
Perfect. So that's Perla's motion.
You're going to motion to change that?
I move to change a GAI1 to what they just said.
I can second that.
Okay. Oh, we're voting. All those in favor of that? I'm tired. All those in favor of that motion?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstained? Okay. Any other amendments? Oh, yeah, we're doing the...